is Back to Reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Roundtable from Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, brothers and sisters. Thank you so very much for joining us on today's segment of Back to Reality, brought to you by RRB English Radio. I am your humble host, Zainab, and in the studio with me, I have the pleasure of hosting two wonderful guests. I'll leave the introduction to themselves.
I'm Muzaffar Haider, at your service today.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for joining us.
And I'm Hasnain Ali. Salaamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh. Alaikum wa rahmatullah. In memory of the great, I would like to think of him as the great scholar and mystic, Ayatollah Ruhullah al-Musawi al-Khomeini. Brother Muzaffar, when you hear that name, Khomeini, what's the first thought that comes to your mind?
One of the most inspirational things that I heard about Imam Khomeini when I was only a kid was when he had accomplished the revolution, you know, all these crowds are coming out. That, you know, he puts one hand up in the air and the crowds just go wild.
I mean,
Westerners will be familiar with rock concerts and celebrities and stuff. Hey, man, that ain't. That's nothing. Yeah. That is nothing compared to the love that surrounded this man. Mm. They are willing to give their lives for him. So somebody comes to Imam Khomeini and they say, all these people love you so much. They're in love with you. And how does that make you feel? Imam Khomeini says, well, nothing really. Then he said, what do you mean? So Imam Khomeini says, look, if the people love me for what I'm saying, I'm still going to say it. And if they hate me for what I'm saying, I'm still going to say it because it's the truth. He didn't live his life for people or for money or for politics or for any other reason except for Allah. Mm. Except for Allah. Allah, Allah,
Allah, Allah. این چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می‌کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
That's another quality about Imam Khomeini that I admire so much, and I feel like even as youth we can incorporate into our lives. The amount of ikhlas, the sincerity that he had in every action, right? And like he trusted in God so much, and that's the only thing that kept him going despite all the odds.
Right.
They were trying to kill him, they arrested him, they exiled him, they threatened his family. But he was so sure that this is the words of Allah that I need to carry out. I need to do this for these Muslim people.
Mm-hmm. So I just remember that Imam Khomeini was really fond of kids.
Mm. He was.
Yeah, so like Imam Khomeini, like he was a serious man. He was a man of his words. He was a man of the principles. But still, when we talk to his family members, we get to know he was a good man. Like
in the house, his face changed.
Exactly.
Man, that frown
every
just went.
Picture you see with his grandkids, he has this slight smile, even an ear to ear with his
smile,
children.
Man.
Exactly.
You know, doing all this work for Islam, he still used to go to his house and he used to sit with his family members and listen to their issues. Mm. And, you know, once when, you know, usually the granddaughters used to visit him, then he used to ask, like, where's your child? Then I was reading this conversation, like, between Imam Khomeini and his granddaughter. So he asked him, like, where's your child? He's like, I didn't get him because I thought, like, you'll get disturbed. So, like, I'm disturbed by this, that you did not get him.
Remember once he had guests and he rolled up his sleeves and started washing the dishes.
That's beautiful. This man is probably, like, one of the most well-known personalities of the modern era, I guess. But then he's like, he didn't feel like, oh, but I'm such an important person now, you know?
Exactly.
What am I going to do? Wash this just for you, dude? No. And when we're talking about his relationship with his family members, did you guys know that he actually wrote poetry for his daughter-in-law? Her name was Fatime. Her name is Dr. Fatime Tabatabai, and wrote poetry for her. That's how well he vibed with his family
members.
That's
so beautiful, yeah.
And it just... It reminds me of Rasulullah. I can't help it. Every aspect, almost every aspect of Imam Khomeini's characteristics and personality reminds me of Rasulullah, that multifaceted thing he's got going on. Yeah. Reminds me of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rabbana salli ala Taha al-Nabi wa alihi. here on Back to Reality with my two special guests, we're talking about the most distinguished, important, prominent and wonderful qualities and features of Imam Khomeini Ridwanullah Alayh. I want to talk more about what do you guys think made Imam Khomeini the way he was? Let's start with the youngest.
Okay, so, you know, the love for God made him Imam Khomeini.
Mm, true.
You know, he had the love for God, and because he had the love for God, you know, he loved Haqq. He had that love for the truth. Yeah. So that made him Imam Khomeini, and, you know, being a servant of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, that he used to follow in the footsteps of the Aimma Athar alayhim salam. All his idea of establishing a Islamic Republic, you know, where did he learn from? Like, we have got plenty of ahadith, like Imams mentioning that, you know, we need to establish justice in the world. So he was, you know, this made him Imam Khomeini.
He had the practical steps that you need to take, and he also had those spiritual dimensions, and they came together. I mean, there's lots you can say about it. I mean, he had the most wonderful teachers. His teachers were the top caliber teachers in the entire world. He also had a good upbringing. He was also entered into the Hauzan religious environment at the beginning of his, like, yeah, when Start he was very early, young, yeah. Right? He also, you know, familiarized himself a lot with the Quran. But, you know, one of his favorite verses that he would often recite is La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. No soul is burdened with a burden except to the extent of its ability. And if we look at it, there are so many other people who have had precisely the same thing. They've had amazing teachers. They've gone to the Hauza from a young age. They were also in a scholarly environment. They also entered that scholarly environment for a young age, and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
There is still something that makes Imam Khomeini stand out. And he was completely distinguished. And if I really try hard to find that trait and that quality which made him the way he was, I would circle right back again to that love that he had for Allah, for that sincerity, for that absolute
love
faith
that he had for Allah that led him, you know, the proper understanding from the religion. Like, he understood the religion properly, and, you know, he established the Wulat al-Faqih and the Islamic government. You know, he understood the religion properly, and the words he used to mention, that Hasbunullah, that God is enough for us. That he said that we don't need to depend on anyone. Like, beat West, we can do everything. Like, that we can do anything, that God is enough for us. So he had that proper understanding from the religion.
Yes, made him Imam. He did. He had a very deep and very thorough understanding, comprehension of the religion of Islam.
He had that sort of mind. He would pick things apart and try to understand them in depth.
Was
and that's
a genius,
why he was
yes.
so multifaceted. He was able to have a say, have an opinion, a valid opinion in so many different fields.
A valid Islamic opinion, yes. From the Quran, from the Ahadith, he was able to pass verdicts with certainty. There are very, very, very few individuals who can do that, first of all. But now, even when it comes to making those decisions, there are so many degrees and layers and just layers of repercussions to those actions. I want to give you an example, right? So when the revolution was sparked, there were a lot of people who were killed.
Yeah.
Some people, surprise, surprise, from the religious community came and confronted Imam Khomeini, and they said, you know, these people have died. Who is responsible for their deaths? Mm-hmm. Right? There was lots of attacks that were taking place from Iraq and, you know, from Saddam Hussein and the enemies of Islam and the rest. So he actually said, I will bear the responsibility of this on the Day of Judgment.
He was so sure of what
he was
doing. He was
certain of what he was doing.
That's so important, though. How often are we sure? Brother Hassanain, I think as students of the seminary of Qom, we've all had some of his books in our curriculums, right?
When did they ever put Imam Khomeini's book in the curriculum?
I studied like 4 of his books at least. Have you read any of his works? He was a writer since like his youth years. His first tafsir, it was tafsir of the supplication of Sahar of Ramadan, was at when he was 19.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email that is englishradio@irib.ir.
Have you read any of his books, Brother Hasnain?
Okay, so actually, I didn't want to break this out, but I have read his blogs and listened to his speeches, but I have not read specifically a book written by him, and that's actually sad.
I recommend 40 Hadith, the Arba'een book. It's a very beautiful book. It's a little hardcore. I mean...
A little hardcore?
More on the more...
As you said, it's in the curriculum, right? So I have not yet reached that.
Sure. Keep telling yourself that. What other books did we have? Asrar al-Salah?
Adab al-Salah.
Adab al-Salah. There we go. That was one of his books.
If there's any book you read, read Chil Hadith. But Adab al-Salah is incredible too.
It is.
It is
I
such an amazing
book. I
recommend
it to book. Our listeners. If they can find it in English or if they understand Farsi or
it's
Arabic,
available in
go
English.
For it.
And the translation is fantastic.
You've read it in English?
Yeah.
Awesomeness.
I think I've read two different translations as well.
Oh, good.
And they were both really, really good.
Alhamdulillah.
I think. But, that shows you the depth of this man.
And his eloquence.
Oh.
You see how different it is, his speech, when he's talking to the normal, layman, the people, the civilians, the population. And then his book, it's different personalities.
Let me tell you something. Chil Hadith, 40 Hadith, the book. Read the first chapter. Read the second one. Read the third one. Mm. Fourth one, okay. Fifth one, you're getting deeper now. Sixth one, seventh
Steve.
One, eighth one. What is going on
exactly.
here?
Exactly. Where
I need
am
to,
I?
I need to start again. That's what happens. Every
again.
Time, you just
Such
end up starting again.
It's such a deep
again.
Book.
Adab al-Salah is the same way. He is, when you start one of his books, he is taking you on a journey. And along the way, you just... Because you haven't been following very, very particularly and very closely, you start to get lost.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, I need to retrace my steps. Start again.
Start all over
Try and
again.
Figure this out from the beginning.
One book by him, which I read a few pages from it, is The Greatest Jihad, Combat with the Self.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's about all, Jihad and Nafs. Yeah.
Right, the book Jihad. And from the titles of these books, I think if we read just these three books from Imam Khomeini, we're set for life.
Yeah.
Because what else do we need to fix about ourselves? We need to fix our salah, our prayer.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be able to fight with the temptations of the lower self.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to know about the teachings of the Ahl al-Bayt, the 40 Hadith. Khalas, that's basically... another interesting aspect of Imam Khomeini, another feature of his, is that he was a very powerful man, no doubt. But he was not wealthy at all. Mm. He was actually an orphan. I don't know how many people know that. His father was killed when he was very young. He was raised by his mom and his aunt.
Mm-hmm.
His house in Qom was a simple house. Right now, it's sort of a tourist attraction. People go and visit Imam Khomeini's old house. But the house that his wife passed away in a few years back, which is in Jamaran of Tehran, also a very simple house, nothing schmancy. I think his sitting room don't even have couches, or maybe they do have these really old beat-up couches.
Yeah.
His outfits were always so simple, his clothes, his lifestyle. And it just makes you wonder, when you look at presidents, prime ministers, generals, kings, queens of the Western world, or even the Eastern, They're living the luxurious life, right?
Yeah.
They're living their best material life. But Imam Khomeini, he was so detached from all these things.
And Imam Khomeini was more powerful than any of them.
He really was.
Exactly.
Yeah. Imagine this old man in his 80s waving his hand, saying one word, and millions of people just pledging their lives for him. That's all the time we have for today's episode of... Back to Reality. Thank you so very much for being with us today, as we did our part in the best of our capability to commemorate the great man who was Sayyid Ruhullah al-Musawi al-Khomeini. I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.